Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Carl Salnosky to the broadcast. Carl is the Executive Vice President, Service Delivery, and Chief Information Officer of GXS, a global B2B e-commerce integration solutions provider. Carl is a seasoned IT and operational executive with a strong combination of information technology, operations, general management, and business consulting experience. Prior to joining GXS, Carl was the CIO at Schering Plough, a global pharmaceutical company where he managed a staff of over 1,700 people and the company's global IT infrastructure. At Schering Plough, he was responsible for driving change across the organization through a series of strategic business initiatives enabled by IT. Prior to Schering Plough, Carl was president and CEO of a startup software company called Adaptive Trade. He also served as vice president in IBM's Global Services Division, where he was responsible for e-business services, including the B2B and EDI services. At IBM, Carl co-led the team that developed the Ariba i2 relationship to jointly enable electronic marketplaces. As a general manager in IBM's software group, Carl developed and launched IBM's e-commerce software suite, WebSphere Commerce. Prior to joining IBM, Carl was a consultant at McKinsey & Company, a director of network management products at Telenet, and a manager of systems development at Exxon Office Systems. Carl received a Bachelor of Science degree in electrical engineering from Virginia Polytechnic Institute. I recently caught up with Carl in his office in Gaithersburg, Maryland, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 1, people, as we discussed Carl's IT transformation activities and the people changes that he has brought about, both at GXS and at Schering Plough, Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed the methods Carl has used to build close relationships between IT and the business it serves, as well as his contribution to sales calls with fellow CIOs who are the customers of GXS in many cases. And we also discussed Principle 5, external partnerships, as Carl shared some of his experiences and how best to manage external partners, as well as some other topics. Well, Carl Salnosky, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Excellent. Well, Carl, I wonder if you could begin by telling us a bit about GXS, as well as your role as the Executive Vice President of Service Delivery and Chief Information Officer.
Sure. GXS is all about helping companies integrate their trading communities and supply chains. Our history began in the world of EDI, helping connect people's ERP systems together with their suppliers and their customers. But over the years, we've branched out into many other industries, including financial services and healthcare and others, where the trading partners are different, the communities are different, but it's really all of the same kind of work. It's really helping people streamline and optimize their supply chains and their trading partner communities so that they can maximize the value out of their investments in things like ERP systems by having, instead of paper, all of the transactions that they need to process being done electronically. My role here, as the title suggests, is around service delivery. So I have the end-to-end responsibility for the services we provide our customers, which includes the engineering staff that builds the products and services that we run on our network, the operations team that runs the data centers and the network, and then all of the customer support functions, the people that provide the help desk services and the other services that it takes to deliver our offerings. And then I also have the consulting and professional services teams that are wrapped around our services to help customers do the integration work, the trading partner enablement, and so forth that we provide as part of our overall service. In addition, I'm also the CIO, so I've got responsibility for all of our internal IT systems as well.
That's great. So you have an internal as well as external facing role. And I was really interested in preparing for this to find out that a lot of GXS's clients are in fact CIOs. In fact, you are a former client of GXS's, if I remember correctly.
And you, in fact, participate in client meetings. You interact with your peers and other organizations as somebody who has been in their seat buying services like the ones that GXS puts in place, but also as somebody now representing the organization. Can you talk about that kind of special relationship? It seems in some ways unique relative to a lot of the CIOs that we speak with.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I brought to the job was a real empathy for our customers. Mm-hmm. As I said in the beginning, we're right in the middle of our customers' supply chains. These are business critical, mission critical kinds of applications. If there's a hiccup on our network, then orders aren't processed, invoices aren't sent, deliveries get missed, and so forth. So the implications are critical. And I told Bob Siegert, our CEO, when I was interviewing for the position, there were really only two things that I would get called in the middle of the night for at Shearing Plow. One was if our email system was down, and the other was if our SAP EDI services were down, because it meant orders weren't flowing and shipments weren't going out, and therefore we weren't making any money. And so I have that recognition of how important what we do is to our customers, and I think that makes it much easier when we get into a conversation with another CIO to really connect and to understand the business implications of what we do, and that's a message that I'm working hard to drive across the whole organization, so that all of our people who are involved in managing and delivering the services to our customers understand that. And in fact, one of the things that I initiated when I got here was whenever we host a customer visit here now at our headquarters facility, I'll try to convince who's ever visiting to do a lunch and learn with my team, where they just come in and talk about their business, and not so much our role in it, but just so my people begin to understand that what our customers do, why what we do is important to their business, and what the implications are if things don't work, so that we can respond with the right level of urgency.
That's great, and it would seem actually from what you're describing that not only yourself as somebody who's a business savvy IT executive, but your team needs to be a bit more business savvy than perhaps the average IT department is. Are there challenges in transforming, and the extent to which there was any transformation necessary, but in leading an organization, an IT organization, that not only needs to know all of the intricate details of the technology that you're running, but also in bringing them up to speed and becoming more business-minded? What sorts of approaches? You mentioned one very creative approach of having your clients speak to them and talk to them about their business so that they hopefully then initiate the relevant curiosity to all of that. Are there other approaches you've used in order to bring that about?
Yeah, and I think whether you're external facing like we are, or an internal IT organization, the challenges are quite similar, because it all boils down to building a better understanding of the business. This was a challenge we faced at Shearing Plow when I was there, and it's a challenge we have here as well. And I think the approach is the same. It all boils down to people, process, and technology. And on the people side, it is about educating and sometimes about hiring the right people. One of the changes that we've made is to make sure that we're not just hiring people with the right technical skills, but people who come out of the supply chain world and who understand transportation logistics and all of the intricacies around demand planning and forecasting and those kind of things. So they bring a lot of that business knowledge in addition to the key technical skills that we need. And at Shearing, we did some of the same kinds of things. I think it's also important that you keep an inflow of new ideas. So, college recruiting, I've found, is extremely important to always have that inflow of the next generation, and to make sure that you're developing those people and moving them up through the organization. And that means you have to have very good performance management capabilities in place so that you're always managing out the lower performing people to open up opportunities for those young, very energetic and high performing people to advance and engage in the work that we're doing. On, you know, on the process side, again, the processes we use here are very similar to the processes we use at Shearing. It's all around ITIL and making sure that, you know, we have very good change management, problem management, configuration management processes in place with, again, the right technology, the right tools, the right monitoring and alerting systems and so forth behind that to support and enforce the execution of those processes. But it all starts with having the right process design to begin with.
You've mentioned Shearing Cloud a couple of times, and there, like here, you led a transformation of the IT organization. These are two very different companies, obviously, in terms of their focus. I'm wondering, though, are there common themes or common processes you've employed in order to transform those organizations? How have you begun that journey, and what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I think the key to any transformation is first of all communication. So making sure that people understand and see the vision of where you're trying to get to, and that there are measurable metrics that you can use along the way to measure your progress against that vision. And that's a lot about communication, evangelization, and making sure, you know, whether it's this company where we have a global operation, or Shearing Plow where we were in over 100 countries, it's a lot of time, you know, on airplanes and meeting with local teams, because as great as technology is, whether it be video conferencing technologies, telepresence, audio conferencing, web meetings and so forth are all great technologies. Once you've built a relationship, it's important that you get out there and really meet with people face to face, get an understanding of the unique challenges of their country, their culture, their location, and then you build off of that to make sure that you're really tailoring the message around the change initiative in a way that's going to be meaningful and relevant to them. And that's just a lot of, you know, time and hard work to make those things happen. The second one, I think to drive transformation really is to make sure that you're prioritizing your investments on the things that are going to really matter. It's very typical. I certainly saw this at Shearing. I've seen it at many other companies. Where you can sort of peanut butter your investment across 1,000 active projects, right? And they're all small incremental enhancements and changes that somebody in the user community asks for and are important to somebody. But at the end of the day, at the C-suite level in the organization, you're not really moving the needle, for them. So I think it's important, and this is where an understanding of the business really matters, is to figure out how you can really impact the business, and then get your key investments around that, organized around those key strategic themes, and then drive those kind of things that are really going to change the business, which may mean there are a lot of other things that aren't going to get done, and there'll be some dissatisfied people at lower levels in the organization because their small enhancement work isn't getting done, because the big important things are. And that sort of governance and prioritization is absolutely critical to any transformation program.
Exactly. And you talk about this, the need for alignment with the business, of course, is an important part of this. The extent to which you currently or in the past have had business partners of various kinds who may be less tech savvy, who may not appreciate IT as a true partner or a peer organization to theirs, as you're leading that transformation and trying to set a new standard within the organization, are there ways in which you've helped overcome that lack of curiosity, that Ludditism, if you will, of perhaps among some of your business peers?
Yeah, at GXS, it's very easy, right? Because our whole business is about technology, so it's really hasn't been an issue here. But clearly, in many other companies, that's not the case. At Shearing Plow, we were all about discovering and bringing to market new products that were going to save lives and help people live longer. So to the extent that IT could enable that and help that, that was great. But it wasn't something that, you know, the CEO or the head of R&D typically focused on. So in those kind of situations, I think it is critical that, you know, you have to start with that understanding of the business and really talk about what are the business impacts, right? What are the business values? What are the benefits to the business? And not about technology. In fact, you know, many of the key programs we implemented at Shearing, you know, technology was maybe 30% of the total project cost. The rest of the cost was all around restructuring the organization, getting new processes in place, and people trained on the new processes, and really changing how we worked. And yeah, the technology supported that, but that was almost secondary to the business in terms of the process transformation that we were going through.
Excellent. You talked a little bit about the importance of your IT resources being business savvy. Are there other, as you think about your journey as a CIO now across multiple organizations, are there other skills that are becoming more important, increasing in importance as time passes versus those that have become less important?
Yeah, I think we really focus in a couple of key areas. Project management, you know, is probably first and foremost, and that's not a new skill necessarily, but it's an increasingly important one. You know, if you look at, you know, most internal IT organizations today are doing package implementations. You know, they're buying Oracle, they're buying SAP, they're buying Siebel or whatever, and they're going through a package implementation. So there's not, you know, a lot of big software development projects, right? But managing all of the various aspects of a successful ERP implementation or a CRM implementation absolutely require top-notch project management capabilities. So, you know, one of the things that I've always done, you know, wherever I've been, is really emphasize building a core competency around project management. Getting people with the right skills, the right training, the right certification, and the right tools to really manage, you know, projects very, very well. I think, you know, a second skill which is related to project management but at a higher level is around governance. So making sure that you've got the right communications, the right relationship building, and then the right processes around your portfolio so that you're, you know, measuring what you're investing, where you're investing it in, and what kind of return you're getting on that investment, and doing that in a collaborative way with the business community that you're supporting, so that, you know, business people can sit down around the table and make good decisions about where they invest.
That's great. Obviously, another transformation that's happening in so many IT departments, including the ones you've led, is the use of external partners as well, vendors, in a variety of different ways. Have you, as you've thought about governing the ever-increasing workloads that they're undertaking on your behalf, what sorts of practices have you put in place?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely key that whenever you're looking at outsourcing a function, whether it's an IT function or another business process area, that you have to look at the outsource as an extension of your company. And you have to manage them just like you manage your internal resources when they were doing that. Hopefully, the company that you select is more mature, has better processes, better tools, and so forth than you were using, so you get an improvement in capabilities, but you can't disengage. You know, far too often I've seen, you know, people make the mistake in an outsourcing process, you know, where it's just my mess cheaper, right? And typically those kind of engagements end badly, with both sides, you know, unhappy with the results. I think it's very important going in to make sure that you know maintain the overall management, that you have shared metrics that you're using to manage the SLAs and manage your expectations in terms of what you're going to get, but you can't abdicate responsibility. I think the other thing that's key in many outsource relationships is there's an expectation oftentimes that because you are going to somebody who's an expert in a particular area, that somehow over time there's going to be improvement. And that will not happen, and I know this from experience, and unless you get engaged and that you drive that that continuous improvement, that benchmarking, that constant innovation and thinking about, you know, how can we do better, and make sure that an outsourcing contract includes the analytics and the data around it, so that you can be looking at, you know, what are the key areas that we should be focusing on? How can we get better? That has to be data-driven.
And it strikes me, your response earlier about how project management has become so much more critical now that the complexity of the projects that that organizations are undertaking, including now projects managed by external partners, it would seem to me that bolsters the case for the need to have those strong project managers and generally strong project management capabilities.
Absolutely, and you know, the other thing I should mention is vendor management is equally important.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, in both Shearingplow and here at GXS, we have formal vendor management people who spend all of their time, you know, looking at SLAs, managing the vendor relationships, and making sure that the value we expected to get out of a particular relationship or contract is there, and hopefully more.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'd like to as a final question, ask you about technologies and trends as you think to the future and as you think about emerging technologies that are coming onto the scene. Are there any that particularly excite you, or any that you're looking forward to attempting and trying here at GXS?
Yeah, there's probably two that are very relevant to the supply chain world that we operate in. Obviously, cloud computing is a big one for us. You know, we've been doing cloud computing before it was called cloud computing, because for many, many years we've been handling transactions in our network on behalf of the customers and manipulating those transactions and making sure they get delivered to the right place at the right time. So we are continuing to evolve all of our, you know, cloud-based technologies to focus in that area. But I think more recently, it's really looking at how we can better use the emerging social media capabilities that, you know, originated in places like Facebook and Twitter into business communities and trading partner communities to allow our customers to manage relationships. I mean, most of our customers have literally thousands and some tens of thousands of trading partners. You know, knowing who those people are, knowing who what the contact information is, knowing, you know, what systems and software they're running on their end, you know, is absolutely critical to making sure that the supply chains are always running smoothly. That's something that, you know, historically was very, very difficult to, first of all, collect the information and then keep it up to date and keep it current. So we're now actually rolling out new social media technologies that allow people to kind of self-maintain that information and really using, you know, Facebook-style technologies for trading partner communities to collaborate and communicate and work together electronically in ways they really never have before.
Interesting. So in so many ways now, personal technologies impacting commercial use. In some ways, I guess, a trend that's been flipped around from the traditional way in which things operate.
Certainly, mobile applications are becoming a more important technology that we're working with. As our customers become, you know, more mobile in their jobs, the need for 24/7 constant communication. Many of the customers we work with are Fortune 500 companies with global operations that run 24/7. So the work doesn't stop when, you know, they turn off their laptop, and they need the ability from a smartphone or an iPad type device to be able to access current status on the operation of their supply chain information. So that's clearly another area that we see developing.
Excellent. Well, Carl Salnowski, thank you so much for joining us in the Forum on World Class IT and sharing your perspectives.
Great. It was my pleasure.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World-Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World-Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World-Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to Meta Strategies' five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people, doing the right jobs at the right time, it will be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure, defined as software, hardware, networks. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will likely become stuck in a reactive mode, constantly fighting fires. And if systems and hardware work reliably, on the other hand, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It's important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and quality assurance, through to support and all other aspects of the IT department, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business. Now, if the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy-setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming crucial to corporations, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metisstrategy.com. And please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our sound editor is Chris Davis, our web editor is Christian Dooley, and our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.